Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
A tragedy took place a few hours ago, last night, in South Carolina, in an AME church where church members were gathered for a Bible study, and a white male racist, reportedly by the name of Dylan Storm Roof, went into that church and massacred, killed nine Christians, nine African-American Christians, reportedly. As a matter of fact, let's take a look right now at CBN News reporting.
The historic Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Charleston, South Carolina, is a crime scene today after members of the church were killed Wednesday night as they gathered for prayer.
These people were in church. They were in church.
Police are still looking for the shooter. He's described as a clean-shaven white male in his early 20s, wearing a gray sweatshirt, jeans, and Timberland boots. He's believed to be the only shooter. Officials refuse to go into detail about possible motives for the shooting, but many are calling it a hate crime.
The only reason someone could walk into church and shoot people praying is out of hate. The only reason that it is the most dastardly act that one can possibly imagine.
The Emmanuel AME Church is one of the oldest black churches in the South. Its pastor, well known for his civil rights activism, he's believed to be among the dead. Church members say the shooter sat down and attended part of the service before opening fire. Powerful prayer moments happening in the wake of that shooting, members of the community gathering in prayer circles down the street from the crime scene.
We want the entire community to pray for safety for our people, and that we would hope that this person who has committed this heinous crime, which is a hate crime, be brought to justice. So we stand in solidarity, but we also solicit your prayers for the family members who have lost loved ones here tonight.
Another elder reported that more than 50 pastors from all across the state have gathered in downtown Charleston to help comfort those affected by the tragedy. Caitlin Burke, CBN News.
The suspect, Dylan Storm Roof, which you're seeing right now, was arrested. I believe he was apprehended in North Carolina, and they're going through the processes of justice right now. This is a tragedy. That kind of, you know, as Christians, we know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. That is evil from its core. That is the most evil that you can imagine taking place, to do something to human beings that were gathered together at their time of worship. Our prayers go out to the families who lost loved ones. Our prayer goes out for the church at large, that the Lord would protect the church, and that we would awaken and realize that there's people that have a mindset against the church, and we need to stand up and call evil, evil, and that is evil. The question is, when you think about it, you know, what do we as the church do about it? For quite often, you know, many people are just looking at their televisions, just looking at the news, or looking at newspapers or online, and they're just going like, they're thinking somebody else is going to do something. It's time for us to join in the movement. It's time for us to begin to think about what would Jesus do. One good example of that is Dr. King, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., what he did when injustice was taking place. We can no longer remain silent. We have to get involved. The time has come. This is that Archduke Ferdinand moment for America. This is a tragedy. This is a massacre. And God is saying, you know, what are we going to do? What are we going to do when this thing is happening? Are we going to balance the scales and do what's right before our God? Are we going to turn back to God? We're going to talk about what to do and more.
We want to get right to it. What do we need to do? What's going on? How do we respond to this? The first thing that we do, exactly what the pastor asked us to do in South Carolina, is to pray for protection of God's people. Pray protection for the Christians. You know, we've talked about this earlier, and you can see it probably on today's torch. But, you know, we talked about the vulnerability of the church and how we need to begin to think, you know, securely about who we are when people are provoking, you know, just like Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said, America, he said, this God's for you. This thing that's going on is about you. And what was some other words were, what's happening on the shores of Tripoli is going to be coming to America. And we're starting to see what other nations have been experiencing in the persecution come to America. And that's Christians a few hours ago were reading their Bibles, having a Bible study at this AME church, as a matter of fact, a historical AME church that Dr. King spoke at historically, that just walked in and began to just massacre 9 members of this church. Mm. That's your brother's and sister's church. What are we going to do about it? We can't just look at it and go, oh, that's bad, that's tragic. We need to wake up and say, God, we want to be involved in seeking justice and these this allowing such hatred to exist. And I think about, you know, what did Dr. King, you know, some of the people that are going there to the crisis area right now.
South Carolina.
In South Carolina is Dr. Evita King. She's going there.
And she's the niece of?
She's the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. You've heard already Bernice King, his daughter, and you'll be hearing more about her today. Mm-hmm. And also about how, you know, God has called his church, his people to respond to these things. How do we respond? And we don't respond to it politically. We don't respond to it, you know, in divided wise. We stand up for injustice to anybody anywhere is injustice to anybody and everybody everywhere.
That's right.
And so what did Dr. King do that brought things together where the church could begin to walk out something that began to change something that was evil in this nation? Take a look at this. It makes me think about this particular interview on The Blaze when they're talking about beginning to explore this, because it's time for a movement. It's time for civil Christianity in a Christian land. How do we do that? Watch this.
One, education. This is more important than you think it is. We barely understand why Martin Luther King and Gandhi succeeded. And there's a good reason for it. The left and right have very different memories of Martin Luther King. We were all taught that Martin Luther King was a great man. But the right was taught that Martin Luther King was a man of God. The left learned that he was an activist and that sit-ins and boycotts worked. What's the truth? Both of them. They will deny the God part. In fact, there many times they just call him Dr. Martin Luther King instead of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. And they almost, if you read his sermons and then you read about him in a textbook, they're completely different. When he was talking, he was almost all biblical. But you don't hear that anymore. So we have the God principle. We looked at the principle there, and we know that worked. They looked at the framework of a movement, and they know that worked. The secret is both of them together is what works. And we're the people that can put both of them together starting right now.
It is so important to understand that a civil land, the word civil means we all participate in the governing process. So as Christians in the civil land, we have an obligation to participate in the process, how things work. Before the Lord, we have an obligation before God to stand up for injustices and to move, but move in love. I mean, you think about when Dr. King was, you know, beginning the movement, you know, early 1957 or so, that it wasn't that popular. Most people weren't joining it. He was kind of using logical sense, but he was doing it in the face of great evil. People were being killed, hung,
beaten.
Ridiculed, I mean, ridicule upon ridicule, upon, you know, just everything you could imagine, you know, that everything, who you were and what you stood for was just any way possible. I mean, people to the point that people were burning crosses in your yard and wearing white sheets and saying that they actually were some pure race and that, right. And they're burning the very emblem where God met man. And they're, it's just the devil. That has nothing to do with Christianity. That is not Christ. And, you know, Hitler was in a church, but he was not a Christian. No. And you have to understand that. But, you know, what do you do? And so I think about the words, you know, when Dr. King was speaking, you know, at Dexter, I believe it was Dexter Baptist Church. But just go listen to his speech.
May I say just a word to those of you who are sinning against this evil? Let me say to you to always struggle against it with Christian methods and with Christian weapons. Never succumb to the temptation of becoming bitter. Never succumb to the temptation of indulging in hate campaigns. You must, at all moments, move with wise restraint and calm reasonableness. Keep pressing on, but press on with discipline and dignity, and use only the weapon of love, and let no man pull you so low as to hate him.
The secret is that we're called as Christians, we're called to love. See, hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. And darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Mm. And this is, so many people are so quick to jump on some bandwagons and this and causes and all this different
movements, right?
What I think about is like, do I want to win? I mean, do you want this thing to hopefully work out? And a lot of people don't even think about, that's just outright stupid. That's not going to work. Hating foes ain't going to work. Mm-hmm. Pushing your agenda is not going to work. Promoting some political party is not going to work. God, as Christians, we know and are supposed to know that God is in control. He's the creator of the universe. He holds everything together. That's the first thing that we have to believe and understand. And secondly, that he gave his son, for us. And he is the Lord. He is the supreme organizer. And it makes me think about, organizers of the day versus organizers of the night. It's time for us as the church to realize that Saul, when he was persecuted in the church, he was an organizer. Mm-hmm. And he was organizing people against the church. But as soon as he met the supreme organizer, Jesus Christ, on the road to Damascus when he was going to persecute the church, he instantly didn't just get rid of what he was. He submitted who he was to Christ, and Christ began to use him to organize the Gentile church. Mm. And so organizing is not wrong unless you're trying to organize God. But if you're under God, if you're under the Lord, and that's what, Glenn was talking about, that he realized that, he's both. He was both. He was totally 100%, authentically, amazingly committed follower of Jesus Christ, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was. At the same time, he was a brilliant strategist in regards to how to walk that out in a civil way. He said outright in his speeches, you can't do this in Japan. You can't do this in China. You can't do this in Russia. But we're not in Russia. We're in America. And I'm only holding you to what's written on the papers.
Right.
So he was saying, speaking about how to be civil, a civil Christian in a civil land. And that's so important because he was willing, and he did, give his life for what God had called him to do. And you'll be hearing in a moment, his daughter, Bernice King, who's over at the King Center, he was not, so many people say, God's called Dr. King. He called Dr. King to the civil rights. And she clarifies that he was actually, he had a spiritual call in his life, and he was assigned to civil rights. And civil rights are for everyone to be treated civilly, especially as Christians. The world will do one thing, but as Christians, we want people to be treated well. And the cost of that, as we saw with Dr. King, was his life. And it's that point. I think about, David Barton. As a matter of fact, David Barton just said, these are one of those moments where you either, it's like the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where you got to either bow or burn. As a matter of fact, take a look at this.
David and I were talking during the break about how afraid people were on 828. David, you were next to me. And remember the fear at the time of the people in the country. A lot of people didn't come because they were afraid. Yeah. We've really matured as people.
Yeah.
Well,
we've got our back up against the wall in a way that we haven't before. And it's like out of the Bible, you're going to have to bow or you're going to have to burn, And so we're choosing to stand up. And if we burn, we burn, but we're not going to bow.
That's amazing.
And it's a good change.
That's not a new thing. It's actually was the original thing. If you were in Iran and you decide, I'm going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, it's bow or burn.
Yeah.
It just so happens we happen to be in America. And to be in America, it's been pretty easy to be a Christian. But it's unique in the world. That was the reason why we're fighting for that ability to be able to do that. So it's not unique in the context of it's supposed to cost you. It's supposed to cost you, right?
Jesus said it would cost you. And so it's just something that we experience here in the United States. And so we need to be able to recognize that many of our brothers and sisters around the world have been suffering like this and have been dealing with a bunch of injustices. And so now we can start walking this thing out.
Yeah, and so suffrage is not, it's what he's, you know, we're called to do good and suffer for doing good. I mean, that's right. The call. And so you're looking at, and you can see historically what people, what cost them to be able to do this. And the question I start thinking about, you know, I think about, you know, Bishop Jim Lowe out of Birmingham, when he was saying, you know, where's the church? As a matter of fact, look at 764 here.
So we're going to be in Birmingham, Alabama on 828, and we're going to focus on Never Again Is Now, standing up and saying, I want to be counted on the big things. And we're starting with what's happening over in the Middle East. Pastor, mm-hmm. Can you tell me, I've talked to the head guy of the Eastern Orthodox Church. I've talked to the head of the Coptic Church in Egypt, and they all say the same thing to me. Where's the American Christian Church? Where are they?
Glenn, when you bring that up, it's the same thing that I feel like sometimes when we condemn Muslims, if there are Muslims that condemn the beheadings and condemn all of the things that are being done by ISIS and all, and the murders of the Christians and all, where are those Muslims? Well, you know, we don't hear that much about them. But I looked and I realized I'm guilty too if I don't speak out against the murder of those Christians that are occurring, and I don't speak out and join with the voices of others to proclaim that that's wrong. Not against Islam itself, but the murders of people. We have to cry out. Anything an injustice done to an individual is an injustice that's done to all of us. Because all of our lives are interrelated. God created every one of us with a purpose that we affect mankind. You never know the life of somebody that you take, that what that life might have been able to do in the years that we're following. And more than that, you never know what their offspring could have done. You've cut off generations when you take the life of one person. All life matters.
This is so important because we have to understand it's the human race.
Yeah.
You know, so many people who are Christians or profess to be Christians, they just think about their group.
Mm-hmm.
And God is for your neighbor. He's for your enemy. He's for different nations. He's for all of us. And so we talk about rights. You know, we have to stand up for the persecuted person. And it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. I mean, you think about the environment that Moses was in. Think about the environment that Paul was in, that the disciples were in. And they were preaching the love of God to everybody. Mm. Everybody. And talking about religions and idols and all these different things, you know, they didn't differentiate. He went to Greece basically and just said, listen, you got all these gods everywhere, but you have one called the unknown God.
Yeah.
And he used that one moment to be able to preach about the truth.